Welcome to Faith and Family. I'm Andy Bates. It is a chilly day here in St. Louis, but warming up in the studio with good conversation. Hope you can stick around for the conversation. We're going to talk about what's going on with Lutheran schools here in St. Louis. Some great things happening in Lutheran education here in St. Louis. Thanks to our underwriter, Concordia University Wisconsin, for supporting this program. You can find out more about Concordia University Wisconsin on our website. Go to KFUO.org. Look for the CUW logo in the sponsor section. There you'll find more information about Concordia University, Wisconsin. Joining me in studio today are some of our friends from Lutheran Elementary School Association here in St. Louis. Sue Namundson, she's the CEO of Lutheran Elementary School Association, known as LESA. Sue, welcome back to Faith and Family.
Well, thanks, Andy. I appreciate you having us back again.
Absolutely. Glad to have you here in studio. Always love talking about what's going on with Lutheran schools, and LESA, Lutheran Elementary School Association, does a great job of connecting all these Lutheran schools with one another and also with the community. So we all know in the community what's going on with Lutheran elementary schools here in the St. Louis area. So thanks for coming over to talk with us today.
Well, thanks for having us. We love to share what wonderful things our schools are doing in the St. Louis community and nationwide with our with your listeners.
Absolutely. And you brought along a friend with you today, Diana Mears, principal at Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles. Diana, thanks so much for coming over today.
Thank you for having us. It's a pleasure to be here.
Tell us a little bit about Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles, Missouri.
Well, we are a school that starts with two-year-olds, goes through eighth grade, and one of many wonderful Lutheran schools in the St. Louis area.
Right. There are, Sue, how many schools are make up Lutheran Elementary School Association?
We are blessed to have 35 Lutheran schools. Four of those are high schools, and 31 of those are elementary schools in the greater St. Louis community.
So we, and they're spread out really all over the greater St. Louis area.
They are, Andy. They are within a 53-mile radius of downtown St. Louis. So we are as far northeast as Bethalto, Illinois, as far northwest as Wentzville. We're in Washington, Missouri, and then Red Bud, Illinois. So everything in between. So we've got about 8,200 students in those 35 Lutheran schools that our association serves in one way or another. Throughout each and every academic year.
And always busy. We've got National Lutheran School coming, National Lutheran School Week coming up in the not so distant future, where we'll be celebrating, giving thanks to God for our Lutheran schools across the nation.
Yes, that's right. We're very excited about this. We have the kickoff this weekend with our church services on Sunday. And all the festivities and celebration and service. It's not only a celebration of the wonderful heritage and legacy of Lutheran education throughout the nation, but it's also an opportunity for our schools to reach out to the community and share the good news and share service opportunities with those who need some help in our community.
And one way that the community can find out about that, and we'll talk more about this later in the program, an open house coming up soon, too.
That's right. Sunday, the 24th of January, from 1 to 3, most of our schools will be hosting an open house for the community. So we encourage you to go to metrolutheranschools.org and check into the schools that are in the area and the times that they're having the open house. Some of them are varying that 1 to 3 p.m. open house time, but it's a great opportunity for those of you who haven't been in a Lutheran school lately to get back into a school, and those of you who are interested in a school for your kids or your grandkids, great opportunity to get into the school building, meet the faculty, see what wonderful things are going on in our schools.
Well, let's get into some examples of what Lutheran education is all about. Diana, how long have you been at Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles?
I've actually been there for 20 years.
20 years.
20
wow.
Years, yes.
Well, congratulations. That's a milestone and an anniversary to celebrate, most certainly. When did you know that you wanted to be a Lutheran educator?
I think when my children started in Lutheran school, actually at Emmanuel also, and I loved what it brought to all the families and wanted to stay there so I can give back. And now I want to give back to our families what we received from it with my kids there.
Wonderful. So 20 years now at Emmanuel, and what are some of the highlights of Lutheran education at Emmanuel today? What are some of the things that Emmanuel Lutheran School, that you're proud of at Emmanuel Lutheran School that are going well there?
Well, I think educating the whole child, mm-hmm. starting with our preschool program and moving through and having an excellent education, but in a warm, caring, nurturing family atmosphere, and supplying our students not only with high academics, but with other areas so that they are able to have experiences and pursue their God-given gifts and talents.
Mm-hmm. When you talk about, when you mentioned educating the whole child, what does that look like throughout the day? When educating the whole child, what does a typical day look like for students at Emmanuel Lutheran School that really helps educate the whole child?
Well, I think it's, you've got the academics, but then you also have the music, the mm-hmm. athletics, the arts, and the leadership that our students are able to foster as they go through Emmanuel. I think with having a wide range of grade and ages, that our older students almost become older siblings to the younger, and it helps develop those leadership skills. And with having everything so Christ-centered, it gives them an opportunity to develop those skills so that they may become our Christian leaders in society.
Mm. So it really is a well-rounded education. Who contributes to that education? Who, obviously there are teachers there. Are there others who help make up this well-rounded education that shapes the whole child?
Well, it's the teachers, and having wonderful teachers is such a blessing.
Mm-hmm.
But our teachers also work very closely with the teachers, with the families,
mm-hmm.
and the communication is there. So it's not an island. It is a village. And not only at Emmanuel, but being able to reach out and learn and work together with other Lutheran schools. Lisa helps tremendously with that. I kind of call Lisa as our hub mm-hmm. in the fact that they are able to help us with professional development, with schools networking together so that we may continually grow stronger mm-hmm. each year.
Recently, we learned about one of the schools that you've been partnering with. Tell us about this partnership.
Well, it started in the spring, last spring, and especially after Ferguson wanted to find a way that we could better support struggling communities in St. Louis. And having River Roads, being familiar with them, we have done some activities, some different things with them, but really wanting to make an intentional effort to reach out to them and see how we could help.
Mm-hmm.
Well, obviously, financially, they can always use the help. But not only that, but wanting to build those relationships and with our students and their students, and realizing that we come from very different areas in St. Louis, but we are all brothers and sisters in Christ and having so many similarities.
Mm. So you found those areas that where you have things in common, most certainly the Word of God and the faith that He gives in it. Tell me about how students at Emmanuel and students at River Roads have built relationships. How did you go about that?
Well, we've partnered together in some different activities. River Roads, their students will come over to Emmanuel during chapel. We will worship together.
Mm-hmm.
They bring their praise dancers, and it's a wonderful experience. But then even after chapel, we carry that even further and have the opportunity for their students and our students to work together, whether it be with robotics in the classroom. We had students go over there and give chapel and then work in the classrooms with mm-hmm. the students. And so helping maybe some of the younger ones with projects and different things like that, but then ending up with just shooting around in the gym with basketball. So not only just serious, but having fun.
Mm-hmm.
And so did an outdoor ed with their students, our 7th grade and
fun.
Their 7th and 8th grade. So that was really enjoyable.
I love outdoor ed. It's one, except for when we try to do it in January. Don't do outdoor ed in January.
No, this was October.
That's a great time of year to do outdoor education. What has been the response of the students at Emmanuel Lutheran School and River Roads Lutheran School in the opportunities they've been given to grow and learn together?
They have thoroughly enjoyed it. Mm-hmm. And they want to do more. And I think the more they do, the more they want to do. And it's not just about us giving to them, but that they are able to give to us. I know some of our students are very excited and would love to be a part of their praise dancers, and trying to work away with being kind of far away, mm-hmm. a time that they could get together, and letting River Roads teach our students some dances. But also our students in the fall collected mm-hmm. school supplies for some of their students and meals. And we received a grant last year for our robotics program to put it in our curriculum from third grade on up. But with that, we are also sharing our resources with River Roads. And so they will be able to do that. We've raised money for them. We've helped them with their playgrounds and painting. And it's not just the school, but it's the entire congregation.
How have you seen the congregation growing, and how have you seen families learning from this? What has been the response from families about your partnership with River Roads Lutheran School?
I think the main part of that is not only the service and the giving, but also how we can be two such diverse communities, but still have so much in common mm-hmm. through Christ, and how we are all the same. And there's so many similarities between us mm-hmm. in being brothers and sisters of Christ, sharing God's word, that there's probably more similarities than there are differences. So being able to work together and help each other mm-hmm. is just a tremendous experience.
Have you had a chance to interact with the students in both settings and see what are some of the things when you see the students? Well, what was it like the first time they interacted? What was the feedback the first time that the two schools met? How did the students respond?
I think they were both somewhat surprised.
Yeah.
I think
shy.
That very shy. really didn't talk too much. Mm-hmm. Was a little bit more of, okay, feeling that they were different. Mm-hmm. But the more they have interacted, the more they realize, you know, they're friends mm-hmm. and being able to interact with each other develops those friendships and that relationship between, you know, the students. And they realize they have so much more in common mm-hmm. than what they thought.
There's far more in common than there is that's different. And there's far more to give thanks for in what they find in common. Sue, what is a relationship like Emmanuel Lutheran School and River Roads Lutheran School? Is that a good example of what Lisa is about?
That is an excellent example, and we certainly are so grateful and praise God for the development of that relationship. And that is really what we're trying to foster in all of our schools, mm-hmm. Andy. We're an association where our educators can come together, learn from each other. We help foster that learning and development mm-hmm. and growth professionally for not only the teachers, but also the school administrators. And we encourage our schools to work together, because there is so much more we can do together.
Sure.
Everyone has a gift. God has gifted us all in many different ways. And all of our mm-hmm. schools have very unique blessings and gifts that can be shared among the entire community. And, you know, while we're only regional, mm-hmm. You know, we serve 35 schools, which is significant, we feel. You know, this opportunity is nationwide. And in fact, we've started now reaching out to other Lutheran schools in the nation with some of our resources. For instance, our curriculum guides, we're offering those, and opportunities for certain professional development to schools that are not really in our local service mm-hmm. area. But, you know, we know that we have so many gifts to share, our schools, our families, our congregations, and that can really be used to the glory of God if we all come together and make the most of those and share those with others. And again, it's all about learning. It's about learning and growing in Christ.
We are educators. We never stop learning, right? Educators are, we have continuing
right.
education, but we're always learning. Well, I think you both have brought up a good point that we have Lutheran schools in around the St. Louis area that are in communities that are diverse, that each community has its own unique qualities and personalities and resources. And when we as educators, when we as schools and congregations partner, we share those resources and what makes us unique. And by sharing that, we're able to benefit from one another. You mentioned that, Diana, you mentioned that the students at Emmanuel were excited to learn something from the students at River Roads. And that's just great that students want to learn from one another as well. Other examples of any other stories of from this partnership between the two schools, Diana?
Well, I think we're trying to expand out. So it's mm-hmm. not just limited to Emmanuel and River Roads, but I know Child of God, their mm-hmm. teachers went over in the fall and helped the teachers at River Roads do bulletin boards. And they're also helping. So we don't want to just keep this to ourselves, but and wanting to expand and have other schools and congregations involved in helping each other. I think that's one thing that is very special and such a blessing with our Lutheran schools is that we don't compete against each other, but we work together. Mm-hmm. And even when you have schools close together in proximity and miles, it's not a competition, but we work together and we work closely because we want to give students a Christian education and want them to be able to have that. So we don't want to tear each other down, but bring each other up. And I think working together, we all do become stronger because we do have something very special to offer families. And we just want to share that.
Very good. So this is just one great example of schools partnering, working together, River Roads Lutheran School, Emmanuel Lutheran School in St. Charles, and the joy that comes out of partnering. We talked a little bit at the beginning of the program about some of the events coming up with Lisa, an open house and celebrating National Lutheran Schools Week this week. The ways to find out about the Lutheran schools here in the St. Louis area. Who would we meet at the open house? What would we find out about the schools?
You would find out information on programming. You would mm-hmm. meet the administrator. The school administrator will be there, the principal. Many of the faculty members will be there. They will talk about the different programs they have, the faith component mm-hmm. that is integrated into each and every subject area throughout the student's day. Also, the wonderful academics, as Diana spoke about earlier. You know, our schools are in the top tier nationally when you look at generalized scores. We're in the top 15% nationwide. You know, our schools in Missouri, our LISA schools in Missouri, have outperformed with some statistical adjustments because, of course, as many families know, our public schools take a different test mm-hmm. than our Lutheran schools do. They use different instruments to assess student outcomes. But statisticians have put together some information for us, and our schools outperform in Missouri the public schools almost every mm-hmm. year. So we're very proud. You know, the heritage of Lutheran education, the quality of our schools has just been inherent since the mid-1800s. Mm-hmm. And that continues, that excellence in education. So the families will learn about that. But, you know, the important thing that makes our schools different from any other school system, whether it's public or another parochial system or a private school, is that our children hear the word of Christ every day. Mm-hmm. They learn about Christ. They learn to develop a relationship with Jesus Christ. And they also then, out of that, as Diana again alluded to earlier, you know, they learn about leadership, and they have that opportunity then to use those faith-based skills mm-hmm. and leadership qualities to witness Christ throughout the world. And we're, you know, we are helping our schools. You know, our role mm-hmm. is to support the ministry of Lutheran schools. So we do that by providing financial resources to families so their kids can have an opportunity for a Lutheran education. We work with our schools on professional development and curriculum development and student service resources, many different areas, cost savings. But, you know, we're here to support the work that is going on in our Lutheran schools, and we're excited about that because we know that they are educating the leaders for tomorrow, and we want those leaders in our future to be strong Christians as well as very smart, knowledgeable, well-prepared students.
Go ahead.
I was just going to say, I think Lisa does provide a lot of those services. And I think one very important service is the scholarships that they give for families. And I think a lot of people think, oh, it's a Lutheran school. They have tuition. We can never afford that. And I think that's something that holds some families back. And I want to say, you know, go talk to your school. Go talk to the nearest Lutheran school, because we do, through Lisa, have scholarships. You know, we give financial assistance to families. We do not want that to be the reason why they are not hearing about Christ every single day. And so schools will work with them, do what they can, but don't want that to hinder them to look into, see, you know, what we have to offer.
So you mentioned that the children learn about Christ throughout the day. This is a Christ-centered education, that they learn about Christ throughout the day, and that's in every subject, in all their subjects that they're learning.
That's
why is that important, that that every subject reflects who Christ is, that they learn about Christ in every subject? Why is that important? I'll give you both a chance to talk about it.
Well, I think it's important, Andy, because as we look at the world around us, you know, society is changing very dramatically. It's becoming very anti-Christian, quite honestly, or at least that's how I feel, and I think many of us have that same feeling. You know, God created this earth. God created all of us. There is a reason that we are here, and we need to learn not only in our religion class, but also how Christ and the plan for us as His people in mathematics, in social studies, in geography. You see Christ everywhere in this world, and we as Christians need to recognize that, and you know, sharing that with our children and not losing that heritage and that legacy of wanting our children to understand how they fit into God's plan is extremely important, and they can then go out and serve others, which is what we're all about, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Serving others.
Diana?
Absolutely correct. I think also it helps our students understand that it isn't just a religion class where you learn about Christ, but it is in every aspect of your life, so that they learn it becomes a part of your life. And whether it be math, whether it be science, whether it be, you know, religion class or chapel, that Christ is in everything we do. And I think when we involve Him in the entire day and beyond, then it helps them really understand how Christ interacts with our life and how He is a part of our entire life and not just a subject.
God is the creator of all and
exactly
King of the universe. Well, and so all of this, all of creation is, we're a part of this creation, but certainly blessed to be the ones who get to tell the good news about Him in this creation. That is an outstanding thing. Any other information about events coming up with Lisa? We have just about just under a minute left. The open house coming up this weekend.
Well, we have the open house on Sunday. We have National Lutheran Schools Week, so watch, you know, your congregational bulletin. You'll hear some great things that are going on in our schools, service opportunities, celebrations. We have our large fundraising event on April 2nd, A Night for Kids. That's our dinner auction, and that is our biggest fundraiser of the year, so we will be hopefully sharing more of that with your listeners. You know, we do rely on donors to support the majority of our ministry work. So we're excited to have that opportunity to share about our fundraising events, and we're always around to answer questions if you'd like to give us a call.
That was my next question. Phone number and web address.
Okay, we are at 314-268-1520. That's the Lutheran Elementary School Association. You can find us at MetroLutheranSchools.org or LisaSTL.org.
Very good. MetroLutheranSchools.org. Find information about the upcoming open house and National Lutheran Schools Week.
Absolutely.
Lisa, LESA-STL?
No, oh, LESASTL.org.
Very good. Thank you so much for being my guest today. Sue Nominson, CEO of Lisa, and Diana Mears with Emmanuel Lutheran School. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Wisconsin overlooks the beautiful shoreline of Lake Michigan. This serene main campus of CUW is just 15 miles north of Milwaukee with all its vibrant cultural attractions. At Concordia University, Wisconsin, students living by the motto of inspiration and action can choose from 69 undergraduate majors, 14 master degree programs, and doctorates in pharmacy, physical therapy, and nursing practice. For more information or to take a virtual tour, visit CUW.edu.
This is Life Issues with Brad Mattis, president of Life Issues Institute.
Social media is a great tool for getting our message out. Pro-life education changes hearts and is the foundation on which we build political and legislative victories for the babies. But large social media sites are coming under intense scrutiny and criticism for censoring conservative messages like pro-life. A high-profile conservative commentator has been the latest victim. Twitter unverified his account. Verification is needed for well-known individuals to show they're the real deal and not a fake account. A tsunami of critics, which includes some liberals, are lambasting Twitter for censoring free speech, and Twitter stock is tanking. One critic questioned why conservatives are targeted while ISIS recruits followers unhindered. Please help us speak out.
Like us on Facebook at Life Issues and stay informed, more informed than you've ever been.
The Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, on behalf of Concordia Plan Services, Lutheran Church Extension Fund, the LCMS Foundation, Lutheran Housing Support Corporation, Concordia University System, and Corporate Synod, daily reaches out to our members and partners, working together to support our local, global, and international ministries, church workers, and LCMS initiatives at large to carry the mission forward and to serve each other in love. Opportunities to serve, lcms.org/jobsboard.
Ad Crucem offers theologically sound, scripturally rich, and high-quality items for nearly every occasion. They have exquisite greeting cards, handcrafted jewelry, fine art, crucifixes, church certificates, banners, and much more. AdCrucem.com has amazing products at great prices. That's AdCrucem.com. Greeting cards and gifts designed and made in the USA. Confessing the faith through art and word. AdCrucem.com.
Worldwide KFUO, your most trusted radio station for Christian talk and sacred music. Listen on the air, online, and on demand 24 hours a day at KFUO.org. Listen anywhere you are with your Wi-Fi radios, smartphones, computers, and even on your smart TVs. KFUO embracing today's technologies to bring the good news message of Christ to the world. Listener-supported worldwide KFUO, the messenger of good news.
Hi, this is Pastor Harrison. Let me tell you about something new and exciting. We call it Life Together, a monthly digital digest where I'll be sharing news and highlights from Synod publications and multimedia outlets. There'll be something for everyone. Each digest will be delivered to your inbox, showing how we live and work together to proclaim the gospel and bear Christ's mercy to one another in our congregations, communities, and the world. Please be sure to subscribe today. You'll be glad you did.
Today's presentation is an encore presentation. Any dates or events mentioned in the program have already occurred. Welcome back to Faith and Family. I'm your host, Andy Bates. It is Wednesday, January 15th, and it's a good day. We've got studio guests today. It's always fun to have guests in the studio, live in the studio. Fun. The phone is all right, but in studio is better because we just have a good time. Well, joining us in studio today, our guests are Reverend Bob Briggs and Chaplain Amy Upchurch from Lutheran Senior Services. Good to have you here today, Pastor Bob.
Thank you, Andy.
And Chaplain Amy, good to have you with us. Mm-hmm. It is so good to always connect with our friends at Lutheran Senior Services. I have the pleasure of talking with Jane and Al each week about what's going on at Lutheran Senior Services, but it's fun to have you here on Faith and Family, too. And all week long, we've been talking about the Fifth Commandment, life issues, and respecting human life, caring for human life. And I know that at Lutheran Senior Services, that's a really important topic. That's really what you're all about, it sounds like, you know, caring for human life.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And so... When I first contacted the folks at Lutheran Senior Services, I said, I'm talking about Fifth Commandment. I want to talk about that with how we care for older adults. And I said, probably the chaplains. And the response is, well, chaplains deal with spiritual issues, not physical needs. But as we started thinking about it more, we realized that it caring for them in physical need is rooted in spiritual care. And so that's why I wanted to have you all here today. So Reverend Bob, can you tell us a little bit about what you do at Lutheran Senior Services? And then I want to hear from Amy as well. What you all do as chaplains in at Lutheran Senior Services?
Well, my specific ministry with Lutheran Senior Services, I am chaplain at Affordable Housing, and our affordable housing communities number 9 different geographically separate communities, as well as Richmond Terrace. And so there are a lot of communities that I go and I visit, and I'm with many, many people. The wonderful thing about affordable housing is that it is much different than, let's just say, larger communities, the CCRCs, the Continual Care Retirement mm-hmm. Communities, because each one of these communities have seniors who are pretty much independent and able to continue to do the things that they had been able to do while they were living at home, as they were raising families mm-hmm. and living life, up until the point where, you know, we have to downsize, and we need to live in a community, one that we will still be able to live as God intended us to live, but also in a community that we have people around us who are just like family, who care for us. Mm-hmm. And with all of those connections still in place, that makes our call and our vocation as chaplains all the more interesting, because we get to interface with not only our residents, but with their families and with mm-hmm. the churches and with the other people that they have within, you know, that context of community and the people that are there to help and to support them. So we don't necessarily come in there to be a replacement for any one person or any one dimension, but we're there to help to contribute to what we call the 6 dimensions of wellness. Mm-hmm. And those are rooted in the activities mm-hmm. that are accomplished on a daily basis that we provide at Affordable Housing, particularly. We follow those 6 dimensions of wellness, and the spiritual dimension is where Amy and I come in. And with that, we will do many different things. I had this morning, I had coffee and donuts with my dear friends over at Dunn Road Manor. And we they love it when I sit down and I do some Bible memory challenges with them. You know, these are the things that they love uh-huh. to do. And sometimes they say, you know what, Pastor, we're probably not ready for you today. And they weren't ready this morning, that's for sure. Yeah, so we focused on some of the issues that we're talking about today. The fifth mm-hmm. commandment, God's gift of life, life issues, and the things that we like to allow for our residents to do is to share life stories.
So as a chaplain, you're doing more than just counseling. You're spending time visiting with, and as you said, Bible memory work, and so engaging in conversation and even some teaching. So.
Right. And that's the whole, really the heart is that we are engaged. Mm-hmm. Everyone, our entire staff in affordable housing, from our executive director all the way down to us as chaplains, everyone who is part of affordable housing is connected with each and every one of our residents in being active in their care and their personal wellness. Mm-hmm. And that spiritual dimension of it is critical, and especially for those who don't have that connection, or that connection was severed somehow between mm-hmm. the time that they left their home and arrived at one of our communities. So we try to offer the services that are going to be particularly important to them. Mm-hmm.
And how does your work support that? You mentioned some have severed that tie, or those ties have been severed, I'm guessing maybe with a congregation or something that they might have had when they were at home. How does your work support that person that does have a congregation, has a pastor? How does your work support that?
Well, a lot of times we will contact each one of those churches, and we will make that connection with them. If there is something that we can do that would be helpful for that relationship, we would be happy to do that. And what we tried to do is we tried to bring as many of these churches and these, you know, spiritual dimensions on board, you know, people that have prayer partners and things like that. We like to get them on board.
Sure.
People that want to volunteer in many of our communities to come in and to bring some kind of a spiritual support for residents that they know that they can offer perhaps something on a larger scale. We love to talk to them and see what they can bring because, again, as you were saying before, you know, this is, you know, talking about life is not dull. Talking about life is you know, is not gloomy. It is joyful. And for every dimension of wellness, and including and especially the spiritual dimension of wellness, we want that to be a joyful experience and to incorporate, you know, every possible way that we can, every type of service or activity that we can provide, and including bringing in the outside agencies and churches along with us.
Amy, you and I have a similar background. We're both directors of Christian education. What led you to this service at Lutheran Senior Services, serving, you know, as a chaplain there with the folks? Tell us what led you up to that.
I thought you might ask me that.
What led you to that, and what do you get to do?
Right. All those DCE, Director of Christian Education, and I also had quite a bit of family life ministry training. All of that background works beautifully, dovetails beautifully, and I'm older than you are, Andy, so I'm going to say natural progression. As my own kids were out of the nest, and as I became more interested in adult education, older adult needs and education, I shifted and took some training through a hospital, clinical pastoral education, which opened up the possibility for me to be a chaplain. I have quite a few LCMS ladies ask me, how come you can be a chaplain? And I just explained, like I did to you, it's a possibility. And it seemed a natural progression for me. The way I would describe my ministry is similar, probably, Andy, to I think what you, how you probably think of your position right now, but also, I don't know what you did as a DCE, but I imagine you work with youth.
I still do, actually, yep. But actually, I work with all ages.
All ages. But I was going to say, for me, I define it as a ministry of presence, and that's true today. When I visit also 9 affordable housing communities and also go to the assisted living called Richmond Terrace. And I don't really come in with any agenda. Sometimes I'm going to be a leader of a group or to address a certain topic or be at an event. But more typically, I'm coming in and I'm finding out what's going on, just like you do when you walk into a church youth room or into church or into anybody's home. And so I, what I focus on really are relationship building and understanding what people's needs are, opening a space for that to be held, their needs and their fears, maybe their losses, to be held sacred, and to go ahead and not be afraid to be with somebody who's asking difficult questions. And so that's where my DCE training probably comes in quite a bit. And that's a daily, you know, that's a daily ministry for me. And working with older adults, and speaking of the fifth commandment, you know, I often get asked questions about heaven or death or, you know, what is the meaning of this dream I had, or I'm worried about something from a long time ago. or I don't feel well and it makes me cranky? And those are all great questions. And
you never know what you're going to get.
You can ask those questions sure. throughout your life, as we do. So that's how I approach my daily work.
Well, I think what a lot of people don't may not know necessarily is that as directors of Christian education, part of our training usually includes very basic counseling skills, learning to listen mm-hmm. and those types of things. So I could see how you would get to put those to use. And
absolutely.
And I know in our church body, we have many deaconesses who go through clinical pastoral education and serve in very similar capacities to what you do there as well. And I think by being a woman, you bring in a service that an opportunity for women to connect with you that they may not necessarily feel as comfortable opening up to a pastor
about. That could be, but I absolutely also want to say that I think it's important for, Bob and I are teamed in mm-hmm. that we have, both perspectives. Right. We're just different people. Sometimes it's true that people will connect to me because I'm a woman, but I think it may also just be my individual. Mm-hmm. Let's remember that too.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, tell us a little bit about you've both brought up that the fifth commandment comes up all the time, or frequently in the work that you do. Why is it important for us to think about the elderly and caring for the elderly? Because our culture, even when we start talking about life issues, automatically, I think our minds go to abortion as one of the key, one of the largest life issues mm-hmm. today. But even looking at changes in healthcare, how changes in healthcare and healthcare laws are seemingly saying in a somewhat in a subtle way, and maybe in a not so subtle way, that elderly aren't as important. The older you get, the less important you are. You're not a contributor to society. I see some of these frightening laws that are probably just around the corner that are, saying healthcare for older adults, for the elderly, really isn't important. It says we don't value you. We don't value your life.
Right. Yeah. And I think that goes toward an attitude of purpose. What purpose do the very young or the aged serve in a society that perhaps, as you said, Andy, does not value them because they don't add any value to the society. And therefore, since they do not add any value to the society or very limited value to the society, therefore, we're not going to expend what we probably ought to and what we should. And that speaks of a society that is pointed toward a very utilitarian perspective mm-hmm. on life. In other words, the more that you can contribute, the more that you are valuable, unlike the way that God values life. As God has given life, that is its value. The life that God gives it value in and of itself. Mm-hmm. Yet we struggle, and that struggle it's going to be a constant struggle, because we see on one hand that life is a gift from God, and that God values life because it is given by Him. And but as a utilitarian, society would look at life, it is only valuable insofar as it contributes to the whole. So how do we reconcile the two? How do we live in a society that is supposedly free to be able to wrestle with these decisions, but yet still have enough of an emphasis on caring for the most vulnerable? And they, in the fifth commandment, they have their own place in the fifth commandment, as far as, the vulnerable, the incapacitated, the aged, mm-hmm. That sort of thing. They have value because God has placed value upon them in giving them life. And so, therefore, they do have value, whether or not you can draw any utility out of them in a utilitarian mindset. They have value for us as Christians. Of course, they are absolutely valuable, because today, Andy, you and I and Amy are talking here, but there may come a time where I may become incapacitated. I cannot communicate. What value am I to society? Well, some would say none. And therefore, you know, why spend any money on me? Well, why pay any attention to me? Well, this is the opportunity for God's people and for those who really do have a perspective of what God believes is valuable in the life that he gives, to step up and to do something and to do the things that God would want us to do, to care for the life that he has given to the person, whether they be the very young, the very old, incapacitated, it doesn't matter. It is valuable because God has placed value on it because Christ died for all people.
Absolutely. Amy, your thoughts on the fifth commandment and the work that you do?
I like the flip side of the commandment being thou shalt not kill, but the flip side being, but you do everything you can to be helpful and so that those others in the light in this life on this journey with you will not have a bitter life, will not have not be deprived or neglected in any way. And I certainly feel enriched by the work I've had really all my life, the experiences I've had with older people. And so for me, it's that's what's calling me to this ministry and calling me to obey this commandment, really, is knowing that God plans great joy for me in participating in this commandment fully. I mean, not just not committing murder, but in
the affirmative
being
side of it,
fully involved, right? And tasting of that joy. And I'll tell you, Andy, one of the differences between being a DCE maybe and a chaplain in my experience was I hadn't dealt too much with death when I was working with other ages and intergenerational even, and I was quite an advocate for intergenerational ministries. And I do want to say that has just been like a fulfillment in my life, something I would not want to miss, this part of my life and what this part of my life's work has done for me personally. That's not my motive, but I want to say that that's a blessing. I recognize, I believe that God has that plan for everyone, and that when people ignore the utility, I guess, a utilitarian view, or, you know, ignore the usefulness, that doesn't even compute for me. I don't live in that world. And so I do recognize that one of the roles I can play is to be an advocate for loving everyone, not just the elderly, but loving everyone. That is what God would want us to know, is that our life is surprising each and every day, and what we don't recognize to be a gift at first becomes a beautiful gift.
We've got just about 5 minutes left before we wrap up, but I'm sure with all the experience that you have between the two of you, there have got to be some just great stories about your service. Any stories that relate to the fifth commandment that you either of you want to share today as we wrap up our time today?
Well, I don't know about you, Amy.
I have one anyway.
Okay.
Go ahead, Bob.
Let's hear it, Amy.
I don't know how funny this is, but it tickles me. And I was going to say, I very often have people say to me, I'm ready to go to heaven. And I'm kind of mad that I'm not getting there as fast as I'd like. And it's actually something we can giggle a little bit about. And then I'll say, well, that's a very good prayer. And, you know, I want to give permission if you need it. that you can go ahead and start to, you know, start to think in advance about those things. Doesn't matter how old you are, we can do that right now, right?
Right. We pray, come, Lord Jesus.
Uh-huh. And so I just wanted to throw that out there because it does sweeten my life a lot to be able to speak so honestly mm-hmm. and intimately with mm-hmm. people.
And the fact that we get to have some of the most wonderful interaction with some of the most wonderful people. For those who have never been a part of what we would call senior ministry or ministry to older adults, all I have to say is you don't know what you're missing because it is so wonderful. And some of the stories are, Andy, quite hilarious and quite compelling, too. And to just to have the opportunity to let them tell their story mm-hmm. and to listen. Oh, man, that is, it's priceless.
I had the privilege of visiting the folks over at Meridian Village this past fall mm-hmm. Right around Veterans Day. I got to hear some veteran stories. And you're right, they were just priceless stories, amazing stories that are now archived in our program. So these stories are archived and we can share then with generations in the future.
I'm so glad you do that.
It's just intriguing stories. One, I remember one lady had this painting that she had received from her husband, one of a fellow soldier or someone he was working with while he was deployed, had taken canvas from the tent that they were using. Mm. And he had taken a small photo of her and painted this beautiful painting on canvas from the tent, the pup tent that they'd, you know, been living in.
Sure.
Mm-hmm. Painted this beautiful painting and shipped it back to her here in the States. And and she had it with her that day. And, you know, her husband had long since passed, but she still carried this beautiful story and this beautiful painting that was just, you know, it's stories like that mm-hmm. that help us realize that life and the relationships we've been given, all because Christ has redeemed us, is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
So I envy the work that you get to do and the conversations you get to have on a regular basis in caring for the elderly and for their families as well.
Definitely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. We sure like to invite any families who might be listening or anybody who would want to connect us with a family who has any questions related to mm-hmm. this topic. And of course, there are a lot of other resource people.
Sure.
At LSS. Mm-hmm.
So how can they get in touch if they need, if they want to contact chaplains and get in touch or you know, refer someone to a chaplain at LSS, how would they do that at Lutheran Senior Services?
Well, we do have Reverend Vern Gunderman, mm-hmm. who serves as the administrator for chaplains.
Oh, I know Pastor G.
Okay, so yeah, all right, yeah. And because we are so diverse as far as not only geography, but in you know, the levels of care that mm-hmm. we do give as far as chaplains, because we have chaplains all over mm-hmm. and work at many different types of communities. Reverend Gunderman is able to connect with all of us and to be able to discern what community may offer the best type of spiritual support in mm-hmm. in a particular area that a person would be looking at.
And also, let's remember the hospice mm-hmm. People at LSS who do just a beautiful work and are also a great resource for people with questions.
Very good. LSSliving.org. Go check it out. And we'll be talking with our friends again on his time as well on Thursday. We always get to talk with them for a few minutes on Thursday morning. Well, Chaplain Amy Upchurch, thanks so much for joining us today here on Faith
My
and
pleasure.
Family. Reverend Bob Briggs, thanks so much for being with us.
Thanks.
Good to have you both in the studio today. God's blessings to you and the work that you're doing.
The Lord be with you, Andy.
And also with you.
Listen to Faith and Family Monday through Friday at this time. Faith and Family is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is needed for Faith and Family to continue. Our address is 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can contact us on the web and download Faith and Family at KFUO.org. Worldwide KFUO, on the air, online, and on demand.